There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. We are five episodes into the 2018 football season, which started, in January with recruiting. Today, we are going to talk a little bit about how spring practice went. IU ended their spring practice a little over a week ago with their annual spring game. We'll also talk the NFL draft. NFL draft is coming up. Dan Moglione from AllMedia and Y.com will join us, talk about Hoosier players' draft prospects on in this year's draft, where they might go, what team they might play on, and strengths that they'll bring to us. We'll also talk with recruiting with Pigs.com writer Matt Weaver. And right now, we bring in TJ Inman. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs, and we're ready to talk football. TJ, how's it going?
Yeah, going great. Definitely thrilled to be back on the show and get this going. I know we're kind of in the process now of kind of gearing back up and having this more regularly, so regular fans of our show can be happy about that. I think this is going to be a really good one. Dan and Matt, obviously, guys that we do, and I know that the listeners should get a lot out of this.
Yeah, it's it. We have a good show lined up. TJ, I want to talk first about spring practice. I've digested it for the last 8 or 9 days. And, going into spring practice, I wiped the slate clean for 2017. And I wanted to see how these young guys are going to look, who might be in the mix at linebacker, on defense, on the defensive line, on offense, running back, at quarterback, all of these different pieces, special teams. So I went in with the open mind, no expectations, no predictions, nothing like that. So, my big takeaway is that this is going to be a really young team in spots. At quarterback, it's nice to get Brandon Dawkins. He didn't participate in spring, but late in spring, IU picked up him as a grad transfer from Arizona. But you had, Peyton Ramsey and Michael Penix going at each other throughout spring. And Penix really shot up the depth chart, passing Nick Tronti and kind of leaving him in the dust as Ramsey and Penix took, I'd say, the vast majority of snaps in scrimmage situations, if not all of them. It cleared 90% of them. And I just, that competition, we'll see what that brings. At linebacker, too, who was replacing Chris Covington and Tigray Scales. And I thought for a while you saw Mo Burnham. He didn't participate in the spring game because he was up. Raekwon Jones had a good spring. Mike McGinnis really, started to live up to his potential a little bit as a junior college All-America player. So there's a lot of moving pieces that, while you really can't tell what they have in the spring, and you can't tell if a team's going to win 0 games or 12 games by 15 spring practices, but where IU wants to play some of these guys, and they do have a very good group of incoming freshmen in the fall as well that'll impact the rotation. But it's good to see them back on the field performing, pretty well and all that stuff. So, what were your final thoughts on spring practice?
Well, I'll say that for me, the two biggest things to come out of spring, I'll give three, how excited everyone is for Michael Penix. I think that is not entirely unsurprising given what we kind of heard after he committed to Indiana and after Indiana secured him as part of the recruiting class, and the fact that he was an early enrollee, which was huge for his development, both immediate and in the long term. So that was not surprising altogether, but it was very encouraging to hear everyone that saw him practice was very, very impressed with his raw talent and his just the way that he carries himself on the field. So I think that is definitely a bright spot. Now, how far in the future are we talking about? I thought prior to the second point, which I'm going to bring up, I thought, you know, it was very likely that this year we'd be seeing Penix on the field, and we still might, either in specific packages or in backup duty. But Brandon Dawkins committing to Indiana is a huge deal for this season. I think it really sets Indiana up very nicely at that position, and it was a major get for this coaching staff and for the team and the program. We'll talk about Dawkins more down the line after, we've had the chance to do some more research on him. But I've watched some Arizona games in the past and then gone back and watched a couple of them since he joined the program and have also studied his statistics. I'm really excited about what Dawkins can do for this offense. I think that he has a good course, a good group of weapons around him here in Indiana. And I think he's a good fit, very good fit, actually, for DeBoer's offense. I think he compares pretty well to Josh Dobbs, who DeBoer had a really successful season with in Dobbs's last year in Knoxville. I think you'll see a very similar plans to what they had there in Tennessee. And I think a major area that this could really vault the Hoosiers up, which is desperately needed, is in the red zone. I mean, if I use red zone offense with the weapons that they have at running back, tight end, and wide receiver, plus Dawkins' running ability, if the red zone offense still stinks, then I give up. I don't know what else you could do at that point. But I think it's a big plus there. So that's point number two. And then point number three, Indiana comes out of spring, you know, relatively healthy. There were no major injuries that we're aware of at this time. And you think that if there were, they certainly would have come out by now. So no major injuries. There were a couple of scares, notably Morgan Ellison. But he'll be back and ready to go in plenty of time for the season. And that's what you're looking for out of spring, is to make sure that nothing disastrous happens, like losing a key piece to a season-long injury, which we've seen happen before to Indiana and did happen to some Big Ten teams that the Hoosiers will be facing. So those are kind of the three key points. Another one that I definitely am excited about and encouraged by, Marcelino Ball back and healthy, and then a couple of guys in the secondary, Juwan Burgess and Brian Fitzgerald from Avon, adding to a group that I think, in my opinion, and I think a lot of people are going to agree with this, I think this is the best Indiana secondary that they've had in my lifetime, which, I'm three quarters of a man, I'm 30, so we're talking about a significant sample size here. I think this is at least the most talented secondary the Indiana Hoosiers have had. When you scan up and down that depth chart, there's just a lot of guys, especially once the true freshmen get here, guys like Jalen Williams. It's an incredibly deep and talented group. I'm very excited to see what they can do. I think it really is going to make life hard for opposing offenses, particularly ones that are trying to move the ball through the air. If Indiana can get some pass rush, that would certainly help. And then I think it leaves linebacker as the primary question mark on defense that we're going to have to wait on to see. And you said McGinnis and Burnham and Jones. Those guys having good springs is certainly encouraging.
Yeah, and one more question I've come out of spring is,
in the play-taking game. I think punting game should be fine, if not great. Hayden Whitehead had a really good rookie campaign last year. This year it seems like he still rugby kicks it, but he's added a normal kick, so to speak, to his arsenal, and he really booms the ball. Although a lot of the punting that we saw was inside, so some of those times the ball has hit the ceiling and all that stuff. But when we saw him punt outside or in the stadium, he had some really good punts, straight on regular punting as well, which I think is going to help in the longer run of not becoming too predictable in the punt, where maybe against Maryland, that's why that punt got blocked. Aside from a missed block, you could send your guy right to that spot. And, that's where Hayden Whitehead's going to kick it, 99% of the time. So that's what I took away with it. They better hope that Charles Campbell could come in and really make a difference. Field goal kicking was a struggle all spring. We saw Logan Justice struggle. We saw Jared Smoller struggle. Smoller has college game experience with Rutgers, but he's a guy who might just be relegated to kickoff duty if Charles Campbell could kick field goals and stuff like that. So they're really going to miss Griffin Oakes's his big leg, even though he had that shaky 2016 season. He had a really solid 2015 and then a really, really, really good senior year at 2017. And that's going to be an underrated thing that they miss is the number of touchbacks he gave them and, those deep field goals that he was really, really good at last year. And then you have the new kickoff rules, which should help IU with touchbacks. If you haven't been paying attention to college football over the past few months, new rules came out a couple weeks ago. And one of them is that you can now fair catch kickoffs inside the 25-yard line, and it will be brought out to the 25. So essentially, if you fair catch it at the 2, it will be just like a touchback. So I think that should help IU's kickers. If they could kick it high enough, then you don't have to kick it through the back of the end zone to get out to the 25. It's going to hurt teams like Ohio State, where you see them sky kick it, send their best athlete down and really, pummel the returner at the 15-yard line. Other than that, we'll have to wait and see the fall who comes in and who can make a difference along that line. Wide receivers, we didn't get to see Nick Westbrook. We didn't really get to see Donovan Hale. We didn't get to see Jayshon Harris. Those three guys, you figure, can make a difference in that group. Ty Freifogel also didn't practice. So while there weren't any catastrophic injuries coming out of spring, there are a lot of guys who are limited by injuries from last year and getting nicked up in spring practice as well. TJ, another thing that I noticed, I thought the offensive line in the running game is going to be much better, and adding Brandon Dawkins in that as well is going to make it that much better. With the quarterback run threat like Dawkins, and if he gets banged up playing in the Big Ten, Peyton Ramsey, when he's healthy, he could be a really good running quarterback and can throw off of that. If he's not healthy, like we saw in the last half of last year playing, he just doesn't have the arm skills to really be a Big Ten quarterback who could go and win you a game. But he was healthy, looked healthy in the spring game when he took off for a 53-yard touchdown run. So, and then the interesting thing is, what do you do with Mike Penix? He won that second spot. He was really, with the summer offseason to build and grow, he might be able to push Peyton Ramsey for that starting position if he didn't have Brandon Dawkins there. So do you redshirt him? Do Do you give them some game experience, but burn the year? You know, that redshirt rule never got to the table to get voted on, where freshmen could play four games or so, and then they'll have their redshirt available to them. So it's really going to be interesting what they do with Penix. Do they give him some time? Does IU have a few blowouts where you could put him in and get him some reps for next year? Because experience is still going to be an issue next year. Dawkins will be graduated. Peyton Ramsey, if Dawkins plays all year, Peyton Ramsey has sat a year on the bench. And then you have two cold quarterbacks coming in. So it's really going to be a fun fall camp and a fun season to follow along.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, I think that the way that they handle Penix, a lot of that is going to do with, number one, the health of Brandon Dawkins, whether or not he can stay healthy. I think if Dawkins is healthy, I think he's the guy from the start. My guess would be that if it's strictly spot duty, that would be Ramsey and that they redshirt Penix. However, if Penix is close, really close to Dawkins, then you might see them just go with that. But I do think that has definitely a long way from being decided. Certainly adding Dawkins makes it a little bit less of a pressing question. So big addition there. And I think the running game, Lender coming in from Miami was a big addition. I think this coaching staff really has to be commended for the additions that they put onto this team. You can't have free agency, certainly, but the grad transfers are kind of like that. And I'd say that Indiana hit on a couple of really big targets that are going to make this season, at least the ceiling for this season, much higher than it would have been otherwise.
Yeah, at least, you figure each of those are worth one or two wins individually or combined. Linder, as long as he stays healthy, he missed spring, the rest of spring with an upper body injury. So we'll see. TJ, in non-on-the-field news, with IU last week, former IU football captain Terry Talon made a major gift in support of IU football. He gave $2 million that will go towards the Terry Talon football complex, which is going to be underneath the East Stands. It's going to be a locker room, team hangout, recruiting lounge, team lounge, equipment room, training room, and all that stuff. So that's really going – IU's really investing into their facilities. This is a football-only facility, which is huge because all the other facilities, even though they're in Memorial Stadium, are shared. And so this is a spot for the football team only. When recruits come in, they'll go there. It expands that locker room to all under the East Stands. So it's going to be really, really cool. And when more details of that come out, we'll do that. But coming on now, we'll switch to the NFL draft. We have Dan Moglione from All Media NY to talk draft, maybe a little New York Jets football. Either that's a blessing in disguise or a total disaster. It depends on who's listening. But we want to welcome in Dan, friend of the show, to talk NFL draft. Dan, how are you?
Pretty good, Sammy. How's it going?
It is going pretty well. We could use some more sunshine and less rain out here in the Midwest. I know you guys could use some warm weather on the East Coast. So NFL draft starts on Thursday. A handful of IU guys were at the combine. 11 Hoosiers worked out at Pro Day. Just out of that overall group, what is your feeling about the Hoosier prospects this year?
Well, I think there's about, three to five guys that have a chance to be drafted. I think the two guys that are locks would be tight end Ian Thomas and linebacker Tigray Scales. Thomas is the guy that I like the most out of Indiana's prospects. I think he's got the best upside to be, a starter in the NFL and maybe not just a starter, maybe be an above-average starter. And then I think you got other guys like Sidney Cobbs, Chris Covington, Rashard Fant, who are not going to go as high, but you know, I think they have a chance to get their name called on Saturday sometime on day three before it's all said and done.
Well, let's talk about Ian Thomas a little bit. He participated in the Senior Bowl. He had three catches as a junior at IU. Two of them came in the bowl game after Kevin Wilson had resigned as head coach. And then only he had 25 catches last year, battled some injuries. What are the strengths he brings to a team who drafts him?
Well, what I like about him is he can do it all. He is both kind of a new age tight end in that he can be a great pass catcher. He has excellent speed. He has good speed. So he can run, he can stretch the field, he can make things happen after the catch. But, hey, he's also a big kid. He's about 260 pounds, so he's got very good bulk, better than most of the tight ends in this class. He's also very strong, so while he's still kind of raw in terms of his talent, I think he's got the potential there to be a pretty good blocker at the next level as well. So he's, you know, some of these guys that are classified as tight ends, they're really more wide receivers. For a team that's looking for a guy that can do both, have an impact in the passing game, as well as still be a good blocker, Thomas might be that guy. He was impressive with a lot of the stuff. Like I said, he ran well. He did it particularly well in the jumps. He had a great vertical jump at 36 inches, good broad jump, and that's a good indication of that explosiveness and, you know, more so for tight ends than any other position, especially when they're in that three-point stance where they, you know, might be down as a blocker, but you need that explosion to come out and get into your route. So, you know, I think he's a guy that could go anywhere between the second, maybe some. I see some people have him third, fourth round. I think if he slides into, you know, beyond the second round, I think you're getting a steal because of the fact that he is raw. And as you mentioned, you know, he had very little production, junior college transfer, had very little production before last year, had dealt with injuries, so he's somewhat experienced and raw. So it's a little bit of a risk, and you're doing maybe more projection than you would be with some of the other guys like Mike Gesicki from Penn State. But I think the ceiling is there with Thomas to be a top-end tight end.
Yeah, when I was thinking about Thomas, that was kind of the primary concern that I would have if I was in an NFL team is the lack of proven production. And I know that injuries were a big part of that. Unfortunately, he was unable to showcase himself much during his senior season. But you know, still, you kind of have to worry if you're an NFL team that it's a guy that has never really shown it on the field and in games. But certainly the talent is there. A guy that I'm going to ask you about, Sidney Cobbs, it seems like while he was flat-out dominant in some games for the Hoosiers, and I thought his hands improved quite a bit during his time in Bloomington, where by the end of his career, he was not dropping very many passes, which was a problem early in his career. But what I kind of worry with him about just does not seem to be much explosive separating speed for him. What are the kind of the primary concerns that have kind of dropped him down? Because I think if you would have asked IU fans before the draft process started where they thought Sidney Cobbs would be going, I don't think many would see him as kind of a, you know, third day prospect.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. The biggest concerns that he has, and the biggest one of all is that lack of separation skills. He's slow. You know, he's slow. He's faster than we are. But a 4.64 40-yard dash for a wide receiver is definitely
right
on the very slow end for that position. He's also not very explosive. So, you know, more so than the lack of ability to stretch the field, which I don't think he'll be able to do at the next level, it's what you said. It's that separation skill there. When the other team comes up in bump and run and press coverage, can he get away from that defensive back? Can he give his quarterback an opportunity to complete a pass? And that's something that's definitely in doubt. And while he has great size, he has elite size, and he has the ability to go up and get the football, you know, as we've seen with many, many receivers over the years, a lot of these kids that are big in the college level and take advantage of that size, if they can't separate, many of them offer zero production at the next level and don't last very long. So that's why he's mm-hmm. probably going to go on day three and maybe even late on day three.
Dan, switching to the defensive side of the ball, IU has two linebackers. You mentioned Tigre Scales as the prospect who could be drafted, but Chris Covington is a heck of an athlete and could do you see him sliding in? What is your take on both of those linebackers?
Yeah, Scales is definitely, you know, he's definitely going to get drafted. Probably, I would guess, high on day three. I'm thinking around fourth round for him. He's a little, he's undersized. There's no doubt about that. He doesn't have height. He's light at 230 pounds. What's good for him, and he's not overly fast. You know, he's not particularly slow, but, you know, it's not like he's got that elite speed that you could say, okay, well, he's small, but boy, he could fly. He's got adequate speed. So the measurables aren't really there with him, but the kid plays football, right? He knows how to play. He's instinctive. He seems to be very smart. So he's a better football player than he's an athlete. He's also stronger than you think when you look at him and he hits hard, he can be physical. I think the biggest plus with him is his ability to defend the pass. He's shown an ability to be good when he drops back in zone coverage. He's got a knack for getting his hands on the football. He's also been effective at Indiana when he's been asked to blitz. So I think the trend of the NFL becoming more of a passing league, of teams wanting more of a quote-unquote cover type of linebacker, I think that's going to play into his favor. Probably years ago, he would have been limited scheme-wise in terms of what type of team he can go to. Probably only a 4-3 team where he could play inside or out. Nowadays, you're seeing more and more, you know, teams that have 3-4 schemes going with these smaller linebackers who can move, and especially those guys who can cover. You know, a team like the Dolphins or Patriots are looking for, I know Sammy doesn't want to root against Tigre over the next few years in the AFC East, but those are, you know, two teams that for linebackers that could cover, and that's where he might fit in well in the NFL. As for Covington, you know, Sammy, I think, you know, he's a guy that I've liked a lot and was intrigued about going into the season, and I thought he had a really good year. He brings more of the size that you're traditionally looking for in a linebacker at, you know, 245, 250, and he kind of looks like he could probably even put on more weight and get stronger, get bigger and stronger to fill out and really look like the prototype. He's a former quarterback, and he plays really fast. He's also physical, so, you know, he's not a finesse guy. When you hear former quarterback, I think people might assume finesse, but he can be physical. You mentioned his athleticism. He's very athletic. I think he also has the potential and upside to be a good contributor in coverage. The thing with him, even more so than Ian Thomas, is the inexperience, right? Because he hasn't even had the full college career practicing at the position. So he's still very raw. And you could see there's, you know, he still makes the mental mistakes, doesn't diagnose things quickly as much as you'd like, sometimes misreads blocking schemes, and all that stuff leads to him being out of position more often than you'd like. I think the thing there is, you know, he's so raw and inexperienced, and his best football is ahead of him. So if you like the potential, some team is going to look at him and say, hey, we can coach this kid up, and maybe he won't be able to contribute a lot as a rookie. Maybe he'll spend a year in a practice squad, but once we coach him up, we're going to get a player who's even more talented than his draft grade would indicate.
I was
just going to say, I'd be shocked if, but I'd be kind of surprised if both of them, but I'd be very surprised if Tigre Scales does not have a long, productive NFL career. I don't know if he'll be a star at any point, but I'd be very surprised if he does not have a long, productive NFL career. There's certainly something to be said for just knowing what you're getting from a player and taking that and just not worrying about him being a member of your organization for a number of years.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, he has the makeup of a kid that's probably going to be somebody who can contribute on special teams. Maybe if he's not a star or a starter, he can work in sub packages. I think we're seeing more and more NFL teams not focusing on, hey, this kid can't do that. Focusing on this is what he can do, and let's put him in a position to make a play.
Yeah, and I was talking to former IU wide receiver Ricky Jones on the sideline for one game. And to go back to your point about Covington being a former quarterback and maybe, you know, they're a little dainty or whatever, Ricky Jones said that Covington played quarterback like a linebacker. He threw it like a linebacker.
Right.
He ran like a linebacker. He just did everything hard. Anyway, thanks for joining us and great stuff on these IU guys. One last question. Who are the Jets taking at 3?
Who are the Jets? I mean, that's the question that everybody in New York has been asking for the past few months. If you told me what the Giants were going to do with the 2nd pick, I think I'd probably have a better answer for you. If I had to guess, I know the hot name now, the name everybody thinks is going to be Broadway Baker Mayfield, and I'm not going to say I'm totally against that. I know everyone's saying he's going to slide. I still can't imagine the Jets passing up Josh Rosen if he's there at 3. I think he's just too polished, too ready to step in and play, too kind of made for New York in a different way than Baker. I think if Rosen is there, and there's a decent chance he will be, I think that's the guy the Jets are going to pull the trigger on. I guess if I had to give you one B to that 1A, it would be Baker. I think it's going to be one of those two guys. Darnold would be off
all
the
right
board, and I don't think they're going to go Josh Allen. I think he's just too much of a risk. You know, you trade it up from 6 to 3. I think he's, for what they gave up, he's too much of a risk.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Dan.
No problem, Sammy. Anytime. I love talking IU football with you guys.
Yep.
All right. That was Dan Moglione from All Media NY. Now we're quickly going to switch to recruiting with Matt Weaver from Pedes.com. Matt, welcome into the show. How are you?
I'm doing okay, guys. How are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Matt.
We're doing excellent.
Sammy,
give me some more sunshine.
Sammy,
but
one question, Sammy, before we get into recruiting. Who do you not want the Jets to take?
Christian Hackenberg. I don't want them to take Darnold. I think that would be a mistake.
That's who they're taking.
Right.
So Sam Darnold's going to the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Got that on record. All right.
Or they're Hackenberg's going to re-enter the draft and the Jets will draft him. So they'll do something dumb like that. All right, Matt, we've had a lot of recruiting news for IU. You know, they have 2 commitments in this class. Where do they stand heading into the spring, this end of spring and into the summer?
Well, for Indiana, this is about where they usually are. I know a lot of fans kind of get worked up because they see a lot of schools, you know, with 7, 8, 9, 10 commits. But, you know, Indiana's a program, and there's a lot of programs similar to them. They're not going to be the type of school that's going to have a lot of commits, that many commits this early on, because you just have to recruit different at Indiana. You know, kids commit to, as Kevin Wilson used to say, they commit to a helmet. And in Indiana, they're not commit to the helmet. They're commit to a relationship. So it takes some time to build that up. Really like the kid they just got, Ivory Winters. Out of Missouri, 6'1", 210, can run well for a guy his size. I think he's a really good fit at running back, which is where they expect to play him. You know, and then you see Emory Simmons, who didn't have Indiana's only Power 5 offer, but if you see what he's done in some of these, the Elite Regional down in Charlotte, really opened some eyes with his performance. And I said it when he committed, if this kid if he doesn't commit and goes to camp this summer, he blows up and gets probably – you know, half dozen, 10 Power 5 offers. Who knows? He may still get those. But Indiana evaluated him, got in on him early, and was able to kind of cherry pick him before everybody else knew about him. So I like the 2 guys they've got. It's going to be a smaller class, as in probably not a full 25. I mean, I guess you could get to 20, but it would probably take some attrition to get that far. Smaller on the defensive side, except for on the D-line. They'll bulk up their numbers there. The O-line will be the same case. And then, obviously, on offense, you want to get a quarterback and some skill guys. But, you know, I think they're doing a good job. They're out on the road recruiting right now. And I think recruiting is going well. You know, I think you'll see some more commitments pop probably as we get into May and June. It'll be interesting with the official visits that you can now take in the spring, how that affects decisions, because I think some guys will pop early. But, you know, I think Indiana's about where they typically are. In the last few years, they've done pretty well. So I think fans should be encouraged by the recruiting.
I was reading on your board, Matt, you know, there's an argument between people who want all these in-state guys and people who think that recruiting Florida, some of these southern states where the high school football is really the depth there is really, really deep, as opposed to some of the depth in Indiana where maybe the top five guys might be, you know, on an even playing field. But is there a sense of urgency to get some of these in-state guys, or is it, you know, let's go pluck where we've had luck in Florida and Georgia and Tennessee?
I think the urgency is just to get good players. And, you know, I mean, just in some of my dealings with the staff, I mean, you know, you want in-state guys. There's no doubt about it. You'd like to get a David Bell. You'd like to get a Samson Hame. You'd like to get a Bo Robbins and Cameron Williams and on and on and on. But at the same time, players everywhere. And it's, you know, I mean, you know, you didn't grow up in Indiana, you know, TJ and I did. It's not cool in high school for Indiana football. I mean, it's just not, guys. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not. There's a lot of negative stuff towards Indiana football with high school kids, and it's just because the program's not been good for so long, and it's not a cool thing. That's why, you know, like when Antonio Allen committed, I called it a courageous decision, because not many guys in his shoes would have done that. They wouldn't have flipped to Indiana, and it's you know, it's going to take, I mean, it goes back to the same thing. It's going to take some years of success, some winning, to make it more where it's kind of hip to go to Indiana and play football when you're an in-state kid. So you keep recruiting them, there's no doubt about it, but you can't sit around and let them dictate the recruitment. I mean, yeah, some guys are really good and you're going to wait for a while, but at some point, you know, you've got to fish or cut bait. I mean, pretty much, you got to make a decision. And, you know, if there's a guy in Georgia or Florida or somewhere else that you really like, you know what, you got to take them. I mean, a bird in the hand, you just can't wait, especially, you know, when you're at a little bit of a smaller class. And I mean, I guess you can be more picky, you can wait a little bit longer. But if you only got, you know, if you're recruiting for one or two spots and there's a guy you really like and he's ready to pop, man, it's a risk if you don't take him. Especially, you know, if he's an out-of-state kid, he's ready to go. You know, like a perfect example could be Jordan Jakes, the receiver I did a story on from Georgia. I mean, they like him. If he wants to commit, they'll take him. Now, could that affect their ability to take a Bryce Kurtz and or David Bell? Absolutely. But the bottom line is, if he's ready to commit and they really like him, they're going to take him. And if those guys are still, you know, kind of waiting on their decision, that's their prerogative. It's their life, their decision. But the bottom line is, Indiana's not going to wait forever, and nor should they.
Yeah, and that's, yep. You know, another thing why this season is so big for IU is you came off a disappointing 2017 campaign where you didn't make a bowl, and maybe this year you put together a good recruiting class off of the disappointing season. And if you go to bowl this year, that's 3 and 4 years, which hasn't happened in a long time. Speaking about facilities, Matt, Terry Tallon just gave $2 million for, you know, that football complex underneath the East Stands. How much does that go into, you know, changing the perception of both these in-state in-state recruits, and then, you know, how much does it impress these guys who might not know as much about Indiana football coming up on official visits, you know, from the South and other states?
Well, it's huge because while a lot of fans, when they talk about facilities, they think of the actual stadium. For recruits, the facilities are the things that fans don't see. The locker room, the meeting areas, where they eat, where they study, where they spend the majority of their time. I mean, they're only in the football stadium, you know, what, a dozen times or not half a dozen times a year, and then maybe sometimes for practice, but they're not in there that much. They're in the locker room, the weight room, their position meeting rooms, you know, those kind of areas, their lounge area. And this, now it won't be done obviously this year, the locker room, because obviously with the new, they had to wait till this after this season. But this new locker room is going to be really, really, you know, fantastic. I mean, it's going to be a lot bigger. The IU locker room now is nice. It's just not very big because of where it's located in the stadium. You know, you had to figure out a way to go to add on because you can't go backwards or frontwards because of the way it's kind of landlocked. So it's going to be huge. And having this lounge, I mean, my understanding is the locker room is basically going to go all the way into the Hoosier room, which, you know, we've all been in there. And it's obviously, that's a pretty big big space to use, and it's just going to make everything, you know, that's the kind of stuff that recruits look at. I mean, I'm sure they're going to have like TVs and ping pong tables, or whatever it is they have in there for those guys to hang out and have fun. But that's the kind of stuff, it doesn't seem big, but it's big to these guys because that's the creature comforts that they're looking for. Those are the kind of bells and whistles they want. And that's the kind of stuff that Indiana's got to provide, and kudos to them for doing it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be huge. You mentioned a smaller class. Does that mean they're going to be quicker taking guys, or take their time and really get the guys they want to get?
Well, I think it could be a little bit of both. I mean, you can be a little bit more picky, but like if you've got, let's say you've got two or three guys, for instance, I mean, my understanding is they're going to take one corner, one safety, one linebacker in this class. That's pretty much it. Now,
wow.
Attrition could change that. Now, if you have a guy, you know, who has a career-ending injury, or maybe a guy's unhappy in transfers or something like that, attrition can always change that. But right now, going into the recruiting period, that's where they're at. I mean, it's going to be a smaller defensive class. So if you think one safety, one corner, one linebacker, then you're probably talking, I would guess, four D linemen, because you're losing about three or four. And I wouldn't be shocked if one of those D linemen, if they try to get a JUCO just to get an experienced guy in there, because they're going to be talented on the D line, but a little bit young after this year. So, you know, you're talking probably around maybe eight guys on defense, you know, roughly. If you want to include a long snapper, they will scholarship a long snapper in this class. If you want to include him on the defensive side, that's another one right there. So, you know, at safety, there's two or three guys. If, you know, if Nick Toomer wanted to pop, they'll take him. They take him right now. You know, I mentioned, you know, on offense, I mentioned Jordan Jakes. Now, receiver, they're going to take three guys. So they got one, they got two spots, but, you know, they really like David Bell. They really like Bryce Kurtz. But like I said, if Jordan Jakes wants to take the spot, it's his. He's going to get one of those two. I mean, it's kind of, you know, that game where you play the music and you're all dancing around the chairs, and when it stops, whoever sits down gets it. That's kind of where they're at with some positions. So, you know, with a smaller class, you can be picky, but you can also kind of take guys and fill that spot if you can. That'd be ideal. You get it over with and you can kind of move on to your next position, or, you know, move on to another priority.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
Not a bad problem to have. I think definitely you mentioned this earlier. It seems like based on the current roster, things are in pretty good shape. You know, adding Ivory Winters, and I think they probably are going to look at maybe a second running back, perhaps more of a speed back type guy, kind of a similar to maybe Craig Nelson that's currently on the roster, so kind of in that same type of role. But it looks like the bulk of the class is going to be focused on interior defensive line and, you know, replenishing the offense, or maybe five guys there. Would that be accurate then, that they're going to be maybe another running back, and then you mentioned being picky about who they take on defense outside of the interior D-line and then the offensive line. Is that probably your best guess of what the class ends up looking like construction-wise?
Yeah. I mean, I think O-line, I mean, if you look at it, you're losing Wes Martin, Nick Linder, Delroy Baker and Brandon Knight for sure. Now, could a fourth-year junior decide not to come back for that fifth year? Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, that's something that, you know, they decide during the season or after the season. But I think four guys.
Right.
You know, the addition of Zenden Dellinger, you know, I heard that they were kind of poking around some JUCO alignment. I don't know if that takes him out of that mix because he's basically like a JUCO. I mean, he's going to come in as a walk-on.
Yeah.
He's going to sit out this year as a redshirt. He'll be a redshirt sophomore, or I'm sorry, redshirt freshman. You'll have 3 years to play three, but you get the advantage of getting him in and letting him work with the strength conditioning staff, learn the offense, just get acclimated to things. And then he's got a three-for-three guy, so it's almost better than a JUCO. And he was a legit Power 5 guy coming out of high school. I mean, he had a number of Power 5 offers, kind of basically got caught up in the coaching change thing right before signing day and, you know, was committed to Cincinnati, could have gone to Illinois. You know, I know Hiller had recruited him in a couple of different places. He ended up at Western Michigan because it just kind of happens late in the period when you have coaching changes. But I think he's a good get. You know, I think if this is a kid that if he went to a JUCO this year as a bounce back, he'd probably have a bunch of Power 5 offers. So I think Indiana, getting him as a transfer, especially to walk on for the first year, is really nice. So, yeah, I'd say about four O-linemen, probably one tight end. Attrition maybe could change that. Two more receivers, a speed back, like you said, TJ, you know, like a smaller guy that could play slot or play – you know, just like you said, Craig Nelson. I mean, you know, they'd love to get like Wandell Robinson. He's kind of blown up. The kid from Louisville, I think he's from Frankfort, Kentucky, not Louisville. But he's really blown up. But somebody like that, obviously a quarterback. Then on defense, you know, at least three, if not four. And I wouldn't be shocked if there was a fifth one in there, but I'd say around four would be my guess. And then, like I said, one at each of those other spots. And so you're looking right there around a class of what, about 15, 16, 17. attrition can maybe push it up to 20. But yeah, I think your numbers are pretty close to what I think is going to happen. Look like.
Awesome. Well, Matt, thanks for joining us. Final thought heading into the summer from spring practice. What did you take away from spring practice this year?
There's obviously on defense a lot of young guys getting snaps, a lot of new faces. I thought it was encouraging that Coach Allen said when he was asked a position that really stood out for him, O-line, because I think O-line is going to be, and it's, you can say this every year, but I think it's going to be the key to this team. I think if the O-line comes together, plays at a certain level, which I think they can with the experience they got back, and they've got some talented guys. You bring in a Brandon Dawkins. I think this running game has a chance to be really good. Maybe not the – you're not going to have a Tevin Coleman type, obviously, or even a Jordan Howard, but you can have a nice collection of backs that puts up some good numbers and really a versatile group of backs who can do different things. And then you add in what Brandon Dawkins can do running the ball, and I think he can throw it well enough. Linebacker, obviously, you wonder about that, but – I think they've got some guys there. It's going to be more of a rotational thing there. I don't think you're going to have a Tigre or a Chris Covington who really stand out or stud. But I think they're bringing in some young guys who can play. But I love the secondary. I think this is as much talent as I've seen in Indiana secondary in years. I mean, they've got a bunch of guys who can really play, and they're adding. I mean, the guys that are coming in may be more talented than some of the guys that are already on the roster, which is, it's really amazing to see the job they've done recruiting there. So D-line. If they get some pass rush, Miles Sykes can be the guy he was 2 years ago. I think they'll be fine on defense. Like I said, to me, it was encouraging to hear the O-line is really kind of put out for Coach Allen and the coaching staff. And I just got to have a good summer, get Brandon Dawkins in, get him acclimated as quickly as possible, and, hopefully stay healthy in fall camp and get rolling, first of September.
All right. Well, thanks, Matt, for joining us today and for that awesome recruiting update. Enjoy the rest of the day. Hopefully the sun comes out at some point so you can go golf and enjoy the rest of your evening.
I appreciate it. Hey, you got your Hackenberg jersey ready for the draft on Thursday?
I used it to wash my car the other day, so I think I might need to put it in the washing machine. We're ready to go for the draft.
I appreciate
All
it,
right.
guys. Take care. Have a great night.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
All right. Great stuff as usual from Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. You can read all his stuff there. Just knows a ton of stuff about IU football, about recruiting, very locked in. TJ, that brings this show to an end. It goes way too fast sometimes. We'll be back throughout the summer to go over college football news, IU football news, do our previews. We're about 134 days away from kickoff, I believe. And we have a very exciting lineup of off-season content, and I'll let you do the sign-off.
Well, I will just say, I wonder if Matt appreciates that we did not ask him where Romeo Langford was going to college. I wonder if he appreciated that. It's probably the first time he's done an interview where he has not been asked about Romeo Langford in quite a while. And there, for an IU podcast, I just got in the obligatory Romeo Langford reference. By the way, folks, I think he's going to IU, so buckle up for that ride. I think it was a great podcast. Love having those two guys on, Matt and Dan, enlightening us. And it should be a good NFL draft day for at least a few Hoosiers. We wish them luck on their NFL careers, certainly. And for the next group of Hoosiers, the offseason continues, the development continues, and Hoosier Huddle will be there to cover all of it. So thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll be back here either next week or the week after that to talk more IU football.
Yep, and that does it for tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle. Find us on Facebook as well. And just keep coming back. And we enjoy doing this, and we enjoy interacting with our fans as well. So have a great Monday evening, and enjoy the NFL draft on Thursday this weekend, and we'll have college football back before we know it.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.